Welcome back to the Amazing Gamers Podcast, a just for fun production about media that matters and why we love it so much. Your host, Nathan Lamb, is not an amazing gamer, but he sure knows a few people who are. This is our conversation for today. Welcome back to the Amazing Gamers Podcast. I'm your host, Nathan. I'm not an amazing gamer, but I know a lot of people who are. I'm absolutely thrilled to be in the chat room with my guest for today.
I am Dana Forsyth. I'm a writer, freelance writer. I know Nathan from writing for newspapers in the greater Boston area, and I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, it's great to have you here. We were like in an industry that doesn't really exist anymore in a lot of places.
It's true, man. Yeah.
But it was like a great industry. Like, you totally knew what was going on in your community doing community news. And the Somerville office of Wicked Local. Oh, man.
Oh, my God. Amazing. Like, first of all, it's like it was tiny. You had like three or four or five papers running out of it, maybe.
Yep. It was a lot.
And it was, everyone was like kind of on top of each other, but it was like the best office I've ever been in, probably.
It was a great office. It really was. And you were a big part of what made it great for me, Dana. I'm really glad that we were, because it was like in two sides, and you were on one side with me. Remember? Because there was like the Cambridge and Somerville side, you know, big leagues. Yep. And then over on our side, it was like Medford, Watertown, and my city of Malden. So we were on the same side, and you shared a lot of cool media with me in that time, and I want to dig into some of that and also get some recommendations from you.
Absolutely.
Some movie recommendations.
I mean, it's funny because I do think back to games and music and all that stuff we talked about, so let's dig in, dude.
It's incredible. I think the first one that I'm going to start with, because this is one that came up today, and you were talking about it with me. I recently, my son recently discovered Transformers. I got out the Transformers G1 guidebook and read it with him.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah. That's amazing. Oh yeah. It's a big book I got at Borders about 15 years ago. And
that's huge. Okay.
It was really cool. And I've been doing some with him. Like, I've been watching Earthspark, which is a kid's family show.
Right. Yep.
And I've also been reading some of the comics, and the comics are pretty wild. I'm not entirely sure on the terminology for them, but I'm reading like two different series that are very different, and they're both very good.
And are they the IDW ones?
I think they are. Let me tell you what the two premises are. So one of them is like, the one I like best is the premise is that the war on Cybertron is over, and they're making the peace. And Bumblebee is like the president, and he's working in a coalition with Starscream and this other third Transformer guy who doesn't like anyone.
Yep.
And it's totally awesome. It uses a lot of G1 characters. It has a G1 feel, the way it like there's an issue where it's all Wheeljack, like sneaking into a spaceship to figure out some scientific problem.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, have you ever read that one?
I haven't. Is that, yeah, maybe that's there's so many too, and is it ongoing right now?
That I don't know. I think it's called More Than Meets the Eye. I have the second issue of it. I got it at the Malden Library, and it's really good, and the artwork is really good. There's one adventure where like Ironhide goes on like an adventure with the Dinobots.
Yeah,
go find the Aerial Bots who had like completely disappeared, because the Aerial Bots always just appear once and then are gone forever.
Well, the funny thing is, so I'm looking it up now, and I'm looking at it was a 2012 book.
Yeah.
So it's basically the Adventures of Rodimus.
Oh, wow.
Does that sound right?
That hunting sounds for about the right. Legend, because Optimus legendary is Knights of Cybertron.
Yeah, and they're hunting for the Knights of Cybertron. And I guess it ran for 57 issues, which is a pretty good run.
It's good.
But the other one you were telling me is the newer one, right? That just kind of came out?
So I don't know when this one came out. I'm reading this one through the Boston Public Library, because I have a library card and you can go in and read it through there.
Awesome.
This one, it is awesome. This one is like a retelling of the G1, but like up, cranked up to 11, like modern anime style. Like the artwork in it is really awesome. I think I sent you one or two panels of the artwork that are
You were saying it's I think it was Daniel Warren Johnson, maybe.
That might be like the beginning. Jetfire shows up to the arc, like the arc is crashed and everyone's deactivated, and Jetfire shows up and like reactivates Starscream.
Yes, yes, yes. And like, Starscream gets blasted, basically. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay. Yes, exactly. Yeah, it's like another Easter egg for the old school fans that Jetfire appears for like 5 minutes and is never seen again.
That book is unreal. So a little bit about Daniel Warren Johnson. I got to listen to him talk at the Savannah College of Art and Design, like pre-pandemic, probably 2018 or something like that. I went down there and he was one of the guests because he had actually gone there. And so he was talking about all the books he had worked on and stuff like that. And he's like, yeah, I'm working on this new one about Transformers. And he didn't show us anything, but like, you know, cut to like a year or two later or whatever, and all these issues come out. I didn't think it was going to be as big as it is, because it's just such a huge book for, I think it's Skybound now that has them.
Yeah.
Because they switch around, you know, like Marvel had the original run from like the 80s and stuff. Skybound, IDW, and actually, there's a Kickstarter for a compendium of all of the Marvel ones from the 80s.
I've been seeing that.
And they're doing, yeah, there you go. You got the targeted ads. So that's in like the millions. That's like raised millions of dollars since it launched. And it's only been going for like less than a month. So.
Oh, my gosh. So maybe I should take a look at that, too.
Absolutely. And I mean, Transformer Toys, you've been to like Kamikaze, right?
Oh yeah.
In Somerville, where they have like that big case of it's like a monument almost to like every Transformer you could want.
Yeah.
And they're all like old school. They got some great G1s there. I picked up a couple Dinobots I know for the kids. Nice. So
How much did run you? How much did you?
They are running around like 25 to 30, maybe 35, depending on the condition, which one. And the funny thing is, they did a reissue of all the great G1 Transformers, I think around 2016, 2017 maybe. And all those are fantastic because they're just, you know, exactly the same, but they go for a pretty penny now too. So if you see them out there, grab them, kind of scoop them up, because I know they went quick.
I saw one at Walmart. I actually got what was it, let me look, Frenzy and Laserbeak. I picked up Frenzy and Laserbeak.
Oh my gosh, yes, Walmart. Yes. Laserbeak, I mean unbelievable.
Yep, and if I want to get out of pocket, I still have Blaster. I can put them in Blaster.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely, bro. So, I mean, it's so fun. The kids, it's funny, they got into Transformers early, and now they're kind of over it. They like, you know, pretending and stuff like that and watching, you know, a movie or a show, whatever. But now it's more about, you know, pretending outside to be like a Ninja Turtle or whoever else, you know.
That's awesome, man. Are you Master Splinter in this scenario, or are you?
No, Shredder? I'm kind of like the Casey Jones, just trying to keep order, like, you know, thwacking them when they need to kind of, you know, not like hit each other. You know,
you gotta watch out for that when you got more than one. Yeah, you do.
Oh man, it's the three. I mean, it's funny because three work better than two. You know, it's like the two get sick of each other, but you add the third, it's like the spice, and they can kind of break off and give each other a little room sometimes.
Oh, that's awesome, man. I'm so glad that that's working for you, because three sounds like it would be a handful, but that's encouraging to hear.
Oh, it's brutal.
Can I add one more thing I'm sorry. Keep going.
Sure, go ahead. No, I didn't. Oh, I'm ready for you.
That G1 remake, it's got these moments in it that are just like Easter eggs for the fans of the original. And I'll give you like one example. Because I'm watching the G1 cartoons with my son.
Oh, nice. Does he like them?
He does. He loves it. He thinks it's totally awesome.
That's great.
Yeah. That's awesome. I actually have started calling him Wheeljack, because he's kind of like Wheeljack. I'll walk into his room and he's like, I'm just working on this invention in the lab, trying to figure out this scientific problem.
Right.
That's basically my son. And
that's great.
I feel seen. But it's got these moments, like in the old cartoons, like Reflector used to always be in the background whenever they'd show the Decepticons.
Yeah.
And Reflector was like these three tiny robots that would turn into a camera. They're just workmen Decepticons, and they needed to sort of make it look like there was a big group, so they'd throw in Reflector a lot.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, the funny thing is, you know, those toys I feel like were so on the kind of peripheral. You know, they made that camera one, and those are the ones like I would see. I'd be like, oh wow, like I wish I could have that. Like, you know, Soundwave was one of those for me. I know
I had Soundwave.
I probably wanted a Soundwave or maybe had one. Yeah. I had Grimlock.
Nice.
I know for sure. And then like an Optimus Prime, like everyone.
Gotta have an Optimus.
And I think that was kind of it. Maybe I had the police car that was like a Porsche.
Oh, Powell. Yeah.
There you go.
No Bumblebee?
You know what? We have a lot of Bumblebees. We had a Bumblebee we just traded into this fantastic place that opened at the mall near us. It's called Cowabunga Collectibles. It's basically like recycled used toys, but just collectibles and stuff. He just opened like this past month.
Which mall?
But Kingston Mall.
Nice. Sorry.
Yep.
Go ahead. Yeah.
No. Yeah. So we had just all these old toys that like they don't play with anymore. Like, you know, there's a Bumblebee that turns into a mask of Bumblebee.
Oh,
which
nice.
Is kind of that you can wear, and then it like also turns into the, you know, the robot version. So yeah, a lot of stuff like that, but it's funny because, you know, I look at that stuff and I'm like, oh, this means so much to me, but it's, you know, if I'm keeping it around, it's kind of like I feel like I have to really like look at things all the time now and kind of constantly reevaluate, am I keeping this for me or the kids, or like do the kids actually like it, or is this like, you know what I mean?
So, I know exactly what you mean.
I try to keep it like I got rid of a bunch of stuff this past, you know, month just to that place, just because it's like redundancy. Like there's like a lot of video game stuff and I'm like, this is totally nostalgic for me, but to them it's basically trash. They can play the same game somewhere else easier, or, you know, in a way they enjoy more. But I mean, with all that stuff, I think it's still like there's still some real value in getting that thing you really wanted as a kid and just kind of having it chill on the shelf, you know.
For sure.
It's like comforting. Like I still have a Grimlock that I keep around, and like yesterday I bought like this tiny Godzilla, you know, just for my shelf, just because it's like I've never had a Godzilla. You know, the kids have a bunch, you know, but I don't have any for me. So I was just like, I want one small that they won't like, you know, totally be like, oh, I need that. I mean, I love that stuff.
I do too. I think for me, the thing is like figuring out how to display that stuff. And then some of the stuff kind of gets packed away. Like some of it's out and some of it gets packed away until maybe its time comes around again, or maybe you move on. But I totally feel you on that. Oh, the other Easter eggs that I loved. Well, one reflector getting blown up, because like Reflector tries to dive bomb Optimus, and it shows Optimus pointing Megatron's cannon at him, and like Reflector's like, oh dear, I think don't see Reflector again. Like Reflector is always gone quickly. But the other one was there's a part where Optimus is like driving back to the Ark, and he gets jump scared by the Constructicons. And like the dump truck like runs over Optimus.
Yeah. I mean, it's basically a brutal, like a nice, like, cause there's only so much, you know, realistic, you know, drama you can put into Transformers. All the action in that though is like, it's just like all action. You feel like you're almost watching the movie when you read that book.
It's true. It's, you know what it's kind of like? It's kind of like the G1 done in the style of Transformers the movie, with the characters that we actually cared about and loved.
Oh, totally.
Yeah, yeah. I like how Cliffjumper is the new Bumblebee in that one for some reason.
Exactly. And the funny thing is, too, it's like so that comic absolutely blew up when it came out because I think nostalgia reasons, but also they went to like I want to say like 10, like 9, almost 10, maybe 8, 7, whatever, around their printings of it, which is pretty amazing. Just to give you a sense, like usually if it's a big book, it'll go 1, 2, 3 printings, kind of, maybe 4. I remember like Star Wars when it relaunched in Marvel in 2015 went like something like 9 or 10 printings or something stupid. But so yeah, it's like a huge hit for them. So it's kind of cool to see people, you know, totally new generation getting into it.
It totally is. And to go back to it and see how it's evolved and how it's.
Oh, totally. Yeah.
Because I love the old comics. I thought they were good. I read the first run and going back to it now, it still has a certain charm, but I love what they're doing with it now. I'm glad they didn't just redo what it was the first time. They kind of went back to the drawing board and spiced it up a little bit.
Oh, totally. I mean, I think you have to, too, because sorry, I'm just like rolling down my window here. Yeah, I'm at the beach right now in Duxbury. Just having iced coffee. Just chilling for a bit. Drop the kids off. So I have a few minutes, you know.
Oh, that's awesome.
It's a good time. Fridays are a good time for me.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah, that's my summer Fridays for me. I get to get to take a little breather, and it's amazing. And you know a ton about comics. Can you tell me, like, your journey with comics? I want to hear the Dana story on comics. I can tell you mine, but I want to hear yours first.
Yeah, I mean, I got into comics, like, as a kid. Like, basically, my mom getting me issues if I was, like, sick, you know, at home. So I vividly recall getting on around, like, Spider-Man. I want to say like 18 or it's like it was a Punisher, like someone was dressing up as Spidey and Punisher was involved. And then there was, it was a web like 98 too. So it was around like 93, maybe 94.
Okay. Yeah, I remember that thing. Yep.
So I don't know. I just got hooked and I just fell into that kind of like big sweep at that time. So, you know, it was basically like, you know, Spider-Man 1's coming out. So that was a hot book, like Death of Superman.
I remember that. Yeah.
So everyone's buying books. Yeah, exactly. And it's funny because you could still go to like the local candy shop or whatever, or like, you know, and find stuff like on the newsstand.
The big display of comics at the store. Yeah, that was in Vermont. We totally had that where you could go to the general store. And they'd have like a whole bookshelf of comic books or a spinning rack. Yeah,
exactly. And it's like you go in, you're like, oh, that's pretty cool. Like, you know, some places didn't have anything good or maybe they just got picked over. But I remember we had a comic shop in town. So you could actually go get a subscription and like see what was new. But anyway, so I just always loved them. And then I got basically into girls in like, you know, high school and like I was like done with them because I was basically just doing so much sports. I was like you know, our senior year we were like number 2 in the nation in terms of like high school soccer, which is wild. Like we won the states and we were like nationally ranked. It was crazy. Sweeper and like stopper defense area. I mean, I still play now too, like every week, just try to get out there with the old people league.
My daughter's in soccer. She's loving it. Yeah. She's good.
Oh,
she's
that's great. Yeah. I mean, it's so fun if you get into it. Yeah. And it's like easy. You can do it on your own or with a team, whatever, you know? I got out of it for a long time. And then like, I want to say like kind of post college, I kind of got back into it, and I always kind of started like collecting, I think like mid college where I'd go to like some places. And then, I do remember kind of collecting hardcore post college. I was seeing this girl in Chicago. I was like in New Hampshire. I was just traveling a bunch. And so anywhere I'd go, I'd look for records or comic books. And I ended up getting back into it, and I really started reading again in like 2008 probably, because I was living on my own. Like I was in Somerville, right when I moved back to the city to kind of get in to the newspapers, when I like had money to like start resubbing. And I basically like got into it full time. I was like basically reading everything on like PDFs, and then I started buying like physical copies, and then really started like I had a small collection at home where I basically stash away kind of cool books I enjoyed or kind of thought were cool, and then it just started piling up, and I got to like probably 10 like long boxes or something stupid. And so I basically have been just cutting through and cutting back and just keeping kind of what I love and getting rid of the rest.
Well, that was around the time you met me, because you lent me a lot of really cool comics when we worked in the office. I want to tell this one because this was a pretty cool thing you did. You lent me All-Star Superman, which is probably the best
Oh,
Superman
it's so
story I've ever
good.
read.
Yep.
And you also got me into Boston Fan Expo, and we met the artist from All-Star Superman. That was all you, man. Thank you. That was incredible.
That was awesome because he's like kind of like a notorious shut-in, and he's from Scotland, and he was like he rarely does cons and stuff. I know he does them like every like 4 or 5 years or something stupid.
Wow. I
And
love his work.
he was super nice, right? And he was just like you could tell he was like, very quiet, and like, he wasn't excited to, be out and showboating or talking to people, but he was like tolerating it and trying to get through it,
Yeah, I think he
but
did
he
just
was
fine.
awesome, yeah.
He was good, and to meet him and get my All-Star Superman issue signed. I think I also got a Batgirl number one signed by Gail
Yep.
Simone that year.
Yeah, I
That
do
was a
that.
big year.
Yeah, I'm getting emails for that. That's coming up in I think August or in sometime in summer, and then I just getting emails for PAX East, which is coming up
Next
this week
week.
maybe.
Next week. I'm going next Saturday.
I keep getting emails about like, hey, come check this out, and I'm like, I have no idea what my schedule is going to be. If I go, I will try to pop in. There was one place that offered free pizza, so I'm definitely going to go there.
All right, I'm gonna be on the lookout for that.
Exactly. They had like a like, oh, we're teaming up with Domino's to give away free. I'm like, yes, I'm there. I
Yep.
don't care about your game, but
You have my
I will make
interest.
it there. I know. I'm like, take down my name and make sure you have me on record.
Oh, yeah.
So yeah, that'll be fun too. I mean, that's always like wild because I feel like there's so much going on. It's hard to concentrate because you're like,
Yes.
how do I want to spend my time
Oh my gosh,
in
yes.
especially with the lines and stuff, if you're not, used to that.
Oh, it's tough, and I'm gonna try and plan it out because I go with my son. So a lot of what I end up doing is like what agrees with him, and that sort of
Oh, totally.
simplifies it a little bit. I got lucked out last year because I have a friend who I meet up with who goes for like 4 days. So when we show up, it's day three. She's been everywhere. And like, so she, it was invaluable
Kind
last
of be
year.
your
I can't
guide,
wait.
right?
What's up? Yeah, to have a
She,
guide.
yeah, totally.
It was amazing. And she really knows the scene and is like covering it for a magazine. So she really knows the story. And yeah, it was great to be shown around to hang out, and I'm hoping to meet with some people there this year. So that's amazing. One question too. I'm gonna go to Kamikaze with Jay soon. You sold me on that. I'm going to
Oh,
the
it's great.
used bookstore this weekend, and they have a lot of graphic novels. Anything you would recommend I look for while I'm there?
It depends. We should actually talk about comic stores in the greater Boston area real quick. Let's do Kamikaze, Somerville, right? You got Comicopia in Kenmore.
That's a good one.
You have Newbury Comics, of course, on Newbury Ave or Newbury Street, whatever.
I took him to the one at Faneuil Hall last week. We had an amazing time. He loved
There's
it.
a Faneuil Hall one, right? I'm trying to think other neighborhoods. Brookline, is there, or that one closed? The
Oh,
New
did
England
it?
Comics.
Oh.
I think that one closed. But New England Comics does have a bunch of locations, like Brockton. Quincy is their big one, is their kind of main store, which is awesome. They have a good back selection of like kind of Silver Age and stuff. I'm trying to think what else, if there's anything.
You make the rounds. And then
Cambridge, I'm totally forgetting. Harvard Square, Million Year Picnic, right? Oh, yeah, yeah. It's right. You know where Warby Parker is? It's kind of on that corner.
I think so, actually. Yeah, in Harvard Square. Yeah, I do know where that is. Okay, so I know that area. Yeah.
Yep, it's basically right down the street on the left. If you're, like, looking at Warby Parker, you just take the left and
I
go.
Need to
and
check
it's a couple.
This out.
It's awesome, and it's basically one of the oldest comic book stores in America. Which
oh,
is
I
wild.
Can't wait.
And
I
it's black owned by Tony. I don't know what his last name is, but super cool guy. And then you got the Newbury Comics there at the garage.
Yes.
And I'm trying to think. There's got to be a couple more.
Well, Harrison's Comics out in Salem. I take the kids out there occasionally.
Oh, I haven't been there.
Oh, you haven't? Oh, it's a good time. Yeah,
no.
It's a good time.
And then there's like a million people like on Instagram, which is great. I kind of turn to them for comic orders sometimes.
You do the comics in Boston, right?
Yeah. So I started that as like, I want to sell my comics. And then I just started following people and accounts. And I'm like kind of learning how to, I wanted to like learn how to sell comics because it was a big thing during the pandemic.
Yeah.
And so I started following people and tried to do that. And more so, I just kind of showed off my collection. And then I was like, I should just make this, a showcase for my writing for comic books, you know, just kind of compartmentalize it a little bit with a different Instagram. So I kind of merged all that together. And now it's kind of like a mix of just talking about comic books and, you know, posting whatever I want, really.
I need to check this out. I don't scroll Instagram a lot, but I would check that out. I'm going to check that out so I can see what's up.
It's,
what's new
yeah,
there.
It's basically just links to my comic book based writing. So I write for one place called Cover Price, and that's kind of a marketplace, market watch, whatever for comic books. There's like a ton. You have like Key Collector, which kind of kicked off the game of people tracking these comic books by keys, different variant covers that got hot or have like limited first appearance of like Batman, first appearance of Superman. Those are like pretty well known ones, right? But
nice.
Like say first appearance of the Kingpin from Amazing Spider-Man. A little tougher, and then say like the first appearance like of Annihilus, who's a pretty big Fantastic Four villain, right? And that's like kind of a little more, you know, once you get down like the rabbit hole, of course, of comics, you're just like, oh my gosh, all these characters that I like, and that's where kind of the addiction starts for me, at least.
Obsessions.
Yeah.
Stephen King calls them obsessions, but it's a polite term for hobbies. He says,
agree
to call them hobbies. We call our obsessions hobbies. And I think he's onto something there.
It's
really are into.
Well, it's funny because it's like there's this quote in High Fidelity. I don't know if you've ever seen that movie.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. It's a start, and John Cusack is like going through. Maybe it's at the start, at the end, or whatever, but he's basically talking to the camera, and he's like, you know, movies, books, music, all this stuff matters. It's what we like, and it's what, matters in life, because it's what we like, what makes us feel something, what makes us, you know, passionate, you know, excited to live, and there's definitely something to be said about that, and
absolutely.
I feel like, you know, and it's weird because as humans, we want to collect it. We want to keep it and bottle it up. So that's why we, you know, collect these books. We collect these toys, these movies that made us feel a certain way.
Yeah.
And it's good to, like, you know, just recognize that so you can, like, not hold on to the thing as much as the you know, the feeling, yeah. But still, like, you know, I can't help, like, you know, feeling a certain way if I see a certain comic book, you know, yeah. Like, oh my God, you know, there's yeah. something that pulls at you. You're like, I need that.
Yeah, you know? I'm looking forward to used bookstore this weekend. I'm hoping to find yeah. some Transformers, graphic you novels.
Know, you should go to the stuff. Brookline. The Brookline Booksmith has a ton of used graphic novels downstairs.
Really?
Boy. And it's awesome, man. I've got tons and tons of stuff there, and it's nice. Super cheap.
Cheap is good. I like cheap.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, that's kind of how I started building my library. And I have a graphic novel library with, like, stuff I read and loved. It's yeah. mostly, like, you know, Marvel events and then, like, different Marvel storylines for certain characters, you know, Spider-Man, Deadpool, Hawkeye, Thanos, whoever. And then I'll have, you know, bigger, less so of DC. And then I have indie stuff that I collect and really love. My thing is, if I go actually to a Comic-Con, I don't really like getting single issue signed, particularly. But if there's an artist there, I'll just bring a trade and have them sign, you know, the inside cover. I really like that, just because it's like you can still read it, you can still see their signature. You're not worried about, you know, messing up your book or whatever. But I love it just because it's, you know, it's kind of like someone described it as just basically new mythology, you know, new Greek gods type thing. So I totally agree. Yeah.
I feel you on that. Oh, that's amazing. And yeah, like I love collecting signatures too. That's one of the things I collect. So that's part of the con scene for me, is just meeting people who I know I've wanted to meet, and just to get their autographs and whatever. I don't have many, but the ones that I've gotten have been pretty amazing. Just to go over the list really quick.
Let's do that.
It'll be very quick. For Jason, this one's easy. That's the thing about being a parent, is you do stuff for your kids you wouldn't do it for yourself. Jason's big one is going to be hard to beat, Charles Martinet.
Oh, okay. Yeah, that's amazing.
Voice of Mario. I wasn't going to ask him to do it. I wasn't going to say do Mario, but when he was signing the thing for my son, he could tell that my son didn't quite believe he was Mario.
Right.
So he was reading it out loud as he wrote it, and it was in the Mario voice.
What did he write? Do you remember?
It's a to Super Jason from your friend, Super Mario.
Wow, that's amazing. Did he freak out?
Jason's eyes went wide. I looked him in the eye and I said, thank you. Like, it was a sincere thank you. That was not a perfunctory thank you. I wasn't going to ask, but you did that, and I deeply appreciate it. You know the one I missed? I'll tell you the ones I missed, too, after I tell you the ones I've gotten, because I got some good ones. And I only do one per con. I don't go crazy. I met Susie Young at Fan Expo. Oh, Susie Young is really hot right now. She's in a ton of stuff. She was in Octopath Traveler 2. She was in Persona 3 Reload. She was in Final Fantasy Rebirth. She usually plays a scampy young woman who's very energetic. She was there for Chainsaw Man.
Oh, nice, nice.
Yeah, and she was wonderful. She talked with us for a while. We had a lot of fun with that. And then the other one I met was Kira Buckland.
Oh, very cool.
It was wonderful. She gave my son one of her stickers, her cat stickers. But she was wonderful. I met her. Oh, and that was such a tough draw because there was Michelle Roth. And
who's that?
Oh, Michelle Roth. Oh, she's amazing. She's done so many great characters. Like, she was in Sailor Moon. She was one of the best characters in Persona 3. She was, like, amazing in Persona 3. She's like, if you look up Michelle Roth, you'll see her name everywhere. She's like a legend. I would love to meet her. And also Alejandro Saab was there. And he's been I play games now and I recognize his voice because he's another guy who's kind of in everything.
It's funny because I feel like when you first get to like Anime Con or something like that, or even PAX, you're like, oh, I know that voice. And it's they've done so many things. It's wild. Yeah. So jumping into that world was kind of new to me too. When I first got invited to Anime Con a bunch of years ago. But it's so fun, and it's like it's a good vibe there too. It's like a nice, you know, kind of just chill, respectful vibe, I think,
I
for the
it.
Most part. And yeah, it's just really cool because I always really had a, you know, an interest in like voice work and like how they do it. And because, you know, you grow up like watching Ninja Turtles and you're like, oh, that's the same guy from like the Ghostbusters or whatever. I know that voice. You know what I mean? Or even the Transformers. Yeah, exactly. I don't, and that guy, I think the guy that does Leonardo or even Michelangelo still works because I can sometimes hear his voice on like random commercials or random TV shows with the kids. And I'm like, oh my God. So it's just funny because you're like, you would think, you know, there's a lot more people out there, but these people just do like a million things. You know,
well, and one of my biggest misses is one of those guys because they were both at Fan Expo. They're probably not coming back. Two guests I wished I'd seen 2 years ago at Fan Expo. Peter Cullen was there.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah.
The voice of Optimus.
Yep.
And that's, another that's one who's done it. Yeah, and I heard he's wonderful too. Like
I've heard he's like really nice and super cool. Yep.
And then also Frank Welker has done it. The voice of Megatron. A billion other projects.
Oh yeah, exactly. That he's another one, like just a billion credits.
Oh, he's a legend. A legend. Did you know his first his break in the industry? Do you know what his first big role was?
No, what was it?
I do. It was Fred from Scooby-Doo. The original from Scooby-Doo was Frank Welker, man.
That's
wild.
That's a crazy first credit to have.
Yeah. And you think he'd do Scooby-Doo because Frank Welker is kind of known for doing animals that kind of sort of talk.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
he ended up as Scooby later, but he started out as Fred.
That's so funny, man.
Yeah, I love it. Hey, I know we're our time is running fast. I got to ask you one more thing.
Yeah, let's go.
What are you playing now for video games?
Yeah, let's talk video games because we've kind of brushed on it. Right now, I re-downloaded the Devil May Cry series 1, 2, and 3, which are fantastic. I don't know if you ever played those.
I haven't. What's it like?
It's like the first, it kind of evolves. So it's like the first one is more like kind of like a 3D Metroidvania almost. It's awesome. And then the second ones are more, have like a more like Onimusha vibe. Did you ever play Onimusha?
No, what's that like?
It's like, or just kind of like a fighting game, like a brawler basically. You know, you'd have like different power bars for you know, bigger guys. The boss would have like two or three different colors or whatever it is. So it's like, and then so Devil May Cry 3 is kind of very much that game. But it's like you play as the like the son of Sparta, who's basically the only devil to like, or devil angel to resist the bad devil or something like that. And you're like the offspring of this kind of like devil demonic hero, anti-hero or something. But it takes place in like, you know, like a castle, and it's kind of got this definitely medieval darker vibe. By the third one, it's like got this kind of like 80s rock vibe to it, where you like will like beat up a bunch of things and like shred on like a guitar, and it'll like zap out electricity to get all the guys and stuff. It's like over the top, but it's like super fun. They did a few after that like series that were just not as good.
The first three
fantastic. Yeah, like first one I'd go 1, 3, 2 in terms of ranking them, but yeah, they're great if you never played them. And then re-downloaded Resident Evil 4 and 5.
Nice.
Which I loved. Just the older versions. So I started playing those, and then I'll get like kind of sick of them and then go back to Fortnite. I'll throw some Katamari Damacy in there
for
PlayStation.
I got
fantastic.
That for the kids. Thank you.
Right. And it's, the soundtrack is just like, yes, you know, it's like pure joy. I remember sitting around just getting stoned with buddies, first playing that. He's like, dude, you got to sit through the first credits. We're just going to sit here for the first like 5 minutes and just watch this. And so, we'd be trading a bowl and just watching this. I'm like, dude, this is fucking awesome. He's like, yeah, let's play now. I'm like, oh my God, all you do is like suck up things or like, stick to things. It was just fantastic. So I rebought that, just to have a physical copy,
Wow.
for the kids. And then we have,
I got it on Switch for the kids recently, so we're gonna dig in
oh
and they like
yeah,
it.
I gotta actually look at that one. I wonder if it's the same version.
I think it's like a complete collected edition. You
Oh,
might want to
that's
check it out.
fantastic. I will have to. It's funny because I started looking at physical copies of digital games that they have for Switch. I'm sure you've seen that. They'll like there's a Castlevania. They have like a Castlevania collection that you can download that I downloaded.
Oh, I need to check that
That
out.
they have like the Switch, physical like chip or whatever in like a little booklet, a case. I don't know, like it's so dumb and it's like, why do I want that? You know what I mean? Like why I have it already as a digital down, like, but why do I want to put it in my library? It's like the disease.
They're
Yeah.
shameless.
Oh, it's insane, dude. But yeah, so that I'm trying to think of anything else. Yeah, like Fortnite, and then there was like one more. I got the reissue of the Marvel versus Capcom, like the
Oh, how's
physical
that?
disc. It's fantastic because it has Punisher the game, like kind of the beat 'em up in it. It has like two or three versions of like Marvel versus Capcom, and that has like the precursors, like the X-Men fighting games, and I think
Oh,
there's
I
one
remember that.
more, and I think like a crossover or something like that.
Are you talking the
And then,
arcade game, the X-Men arcade
yeah,
game? Yes, I remember that. Yeah.
yep. And then,
Hide your
but I,
quarters from that one.
oh, dude, it's unbelievable, dude. Actually, the wild thing is, that place in Kingston, the Cowabunga Collectibles has. He brought in a bunch of those arcade one-up machines. So they're all free play. So they have like the X-Men one there, like the Avengers, the Ninja Turtles, like there's a ton of them. So they're
Oh,
free play. So the kids can kind of just jam on those while you look at the toys or, vice versa, really.
man. Yeah, we have to do that. You sold me on that place as well.
Oh,
Wow.
it's fantastic.
Yeah, that's can't miss.
It's great, yeah, but otherwise kind of just like sticking to the Switch. So the kids are really into the Switch games, and it's can't mess with like Mario and Sonic.
It's oh my gosh, my daughter is in the huge Sonic arc. She loves the movies. I got her Sonic
Oh
Colors and
yeah.
she isn't quite into it yet, but I think it will happen eventually. She
Does
loves the movies
she
though.
do the comics at all?
Not yet, but she probably would if I went to a comic store and brought one home for her. So I
You should
should
just
be
go to the
able to do
library, man. There's like a million trade paperbacks of Sonic.
Oh, really? Oh, Dana, see, you are the man when it comes to recommendations. You take it all in, and that's one of the great things about chatting with you, because I didn't even know that existed, and now I'm going to look
Yeah,
for it. So thank
it's
you.
great. Yeah, it's either in like the young adult or whatever graphic novel. I was astounded because the comics is it, which is wild. Like they've been going. I think they kicked off right like 90, like late 90s, right? Like Sonic's out in 90, whatever, 2 or 3 or whatever it is. And then you have
I had it,
the comic bust, right? And then, but you have like these small indie labels. It's like Sonic's probably the only thing keeping us alive. You know what I mean? But like no one's really reading Sonic. It's a kid's book. Now, dude, those issues, those key issues, like hundreds of dollars, bro. Especially like variants of them, like first whatever of Shadow or Amy or whoever it is. I'm not like super big on the lore, but the kids love the movies, of course,
They do. They do.
which are
Oh my gosh,
like
they do.
surprisingly awesome. Like because there's certain movies you're like, oh no, I can't watch that again, but that's definitely not one of them because it's so dumb and so funny and so easy. It's like you can breathe during it, and like the kids are like, you know, it's high stakes for them, but like low stakes in general. You know, every time you think it's like gonna get like, oh, is that too intense? Like, you know, you have Jim Carrey.
Yeah,
you know, doing his
That's
thing.
That's a good way of putting it. That's a good way of putting it. Yeah, my daughter absolutely loves that. Actually, you wanna know, this segues into the last thing and then probably we'll have to wrap it up, but
I was
talking with my daughter. It's funny, and this is my hot take for the day. I'm gonna give you my hot take for the day. It's about adaptations, and it's about how they're different and how the same piece of media can be so different. And my example for today is The Hobbit, because I finally put my finger on what Peter Jackson missed with the Hobbit movies. And I know that's kind of like leading with the chin, because you could say he missed a few things, but here's what he really missed the biggest that bothered me the most. And I like the Hobbit movies. I'm going to say that up front. Bilbo is evergreen for kids who are like ages 5 to 10.
Yeah.
And it's because Bilbo is a little person in a big world who kind of has to go out and face the unknown.
Yeah.
And becomes a hero. Like he saves the day. But at the beginning, he doesn't want anything to do with the adventure. He just wants to hang out at home and be comfortable.
Hell yeah.
The Rankin-Bass Hobbit movie gets that. It's perfect. Like, I played The Greatest Adventure. Do you remember the song?
Oh, it's... Dude, I mean, that whole...
Yes.
Do you know what the word for it? Is it stereoscoped or something like that? Where they go over... And the artists basically draw over live footage to get that kind of vibe.
Yeah.
But anyways, there's a term for it. We all have to look it up. But
yeah,
that movie, I feel like, was, you know, top tier. And you have that as a reference, especially when you see that as The Hobbit. I didn't think there was, like, much, like, as much, like, care or kind of, like, I don't know, like, love or, like, just care paid to The Hobbit in the movie version. You know, even like the Lord of the Rings feels different. It feels like a different world, because like almost like a spinoff. Like he's like, oh, I gotta like do this now. Like, you know, you could tell it was like everyone was tired of that.
I think by the end of the Hobbit movies, yes, the Hobbit, the Rankin-Bass one, a couple of things about that. One, the artwork, I think the Studio Ghibli people were involved with Rankin-Bass doing that. That was like the beginning of some of the top talent for Ghibli was involved with the original animated Hobbit. So the art has an amazing pedigree, and it's for kids. That's my biggest gripe with the Hobbit movies, is that they're not for small kids. And the Hobbit is like a perfect story for small kids. Every small kid I've ever met, I've talked about the Hobbit, loves it because they can identify with it. And the Hobbit movies, my son still won't watch that with me because of the scene where the dwarf gets his head chopped off.
Oh my gosh. Yeah.
He won't watch it. Even though Martin Freeman was a great Bilbo, he won't watch it.
It's tough because like it's funny. I try to think back to like, it's tough to know when you actually saw something, you know, in your own life. You're like, oh no, that was when I was 10, but it's like, no, that was actually when you were 14 and you were a little bit more older and able to process it. I think that's like so hard to do, to figure out when you're like, when you have a kid, because like no it's fine, but then like you could be like emotionally scarring them with like whatever it is. I think
more violent than I remembered it being.
Yeah, exactly. And the same with like, I feel like the Transformers animated series, I'm like, oh my god, like they're just going at, they're going ham. Or even like the movie where like Optimus gets it, you know, in the first like 20 minutes or whatever.
That's definitely or that one we were talking about earlier that was the reboot of the G1. That's one I realized I can't, because I was like looking ahead at the pages. I was like, yeah, there's some pages we are definitely going to skip. That is
totally
because it has graphic realistic violence in parts of it. It's realistic enough, like when there are people who die, and it is a little different than what I'm used to in Transformers, but it sort of fits. It's more like the movie, because in the original Transformers movie, there were a lot of characters who died too. So it kind of had that stakes.
Yeah. The thing is, you block out a lot of this stuff too. Like you're like, oh, I didn't even notice that the first time around. Like when I was watching it as like a 10-year-old or whatever it was, Like, I was just more interested in this part or this transformer or something else, you know. You know, there's only like certain parts that really stick out to you from like certain media, you know, if you think back.
I'm gonna show my son the part where Starscream punts Ravage in that. Do you remember that part? Like,
Yeah, there's some really great parts in that.
they're reactivating the Decepticons, and the first thing Soundwave does is try to reactivate Ravage, and
Yep.
Starscream like punts Ravage away, and it's
It's
like,
so
are you
great.
kidding me?
Oh, it's so funny.
It's got pizzazz. The artwork in it is very inspired. Oh, and I'll
Hey,
throw
thank
in
you.
really quickly, and then
Yep.
I think I'm gonna mix in a replay of Persona 2, because
Nice.
that is just a really great game. I could do like a whole pod on what I love about that game, but it's a great from the PS1 era. Throw a little
Oh
retro gaming in there.
yeah, man. I mean, retro gaming is the best. I love it. So, well,
You
dude,
and
thank you
my
for
son
having
both,
me.
yeah, absolutely. You and my son both love the Wii. Like, you're both huge
Yes.
Wii fans. He just
Yep.
always wants to get out the Wii, and I'm like, oh no, don't make me set that thing up again. But I think we're gonna get out
Right.
Just Dance and
Oh,
do
there
some
you
Just
go.
Dance.
Yeah, man. You start, you know, stacking up those physical copies. You know,
Oh man.
could have a nice little library for him.
Oh, I've got it. It's here. I threw nothing away, so it's here. I just gotta pull it out and set it up. Danny, you've been a fantastic guest. It has been so much
Dude, you're
fun
the
catching up
best,
with
man.
you.
Yeah,
Thank
this
you
is
again
great,
for
man.
joining us.
All right, we'll talk soon, dude.
Thank you for joining the Amazing Gamers Podcast, a just for fun production that's recorded whenever Nathan has a little bit of free time and a friend to discuss a cool topic with. We hope you enjoyed the discussion and that you'll circle back with us next time. Until then, may all your gaming be amazing.